out and stuff. And I just want to share just one or two little things tonight. We're going to move very rapidly. We got a worksheet. We're going to have a 10-minute break and then get back. We're going to sing. Man, I tell you what, I hope you don't plan on going home.
Amen.
Because I hope you expect to get your money's worth here. Amen. 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 I mean, I'm glad some of you got to go up the mountain and everything, but we didn't come here to go to the beach. And we've got our belly full, but I hope to give you some things that will hopefully make you hungry for God. And Brother Les Hill is going to be preaching at about 7 ish. But the thing that I'm also looking forward to is popcorn preaching. I'm serious. Two things that I'm going to look for is, number one, I'd like, you don't have to get up here and go, okay, I'm ready to preach for the next 4 hours. I just want to encourage you, please, try and move me to serve God. All right? Think if I was your lost dad sitting there, or maybe somebody that's really important to you, would you please just pour out your heart? Maybe God's just spoken to you this weekend. I'd like to hear testimony if God's really worked on you, how He's worked on you. We prayed that God would call some man out of our midst to go and serve the Lord anywhere that God would have him go. And God's working on your heart, amen? I'd like it to bless my heart by hearing it. So, all right, we're going to move right in to our worksheet. Let me make sure the temperature is down. Yes, hallelujah. All right, half 8, we'll have the dessert, tea, coffee, and sports time. We're going to try it at half 8. Before we go in for the dessert, I want to have a tug-of-war, gentlemen, and I want to see how strong we really are and just how much you grunt and pass out. So look forward to that. Popcorn preaching at half 9. We will have the bonfire after that. Okay, open up. Leo, we're going to put you at the front, okay? All right, we need a leader. Amen. Okay, hope you have your Bible out, because I'm going to call on you to find a scripture and stand up and read it out loud as we go through this thing. If you've ever played basketball, ever played a sport, and there's one star, you know what that star on the team is doing? He's getting the ball every time, and he's running, and he thinks he's the team. He thinks he's the end. He's the answer to all of those scores. You know what a good team is?
A team.
When everybody's allowed to contribute. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'm like Brother Pittman. He asked me, did you ever play football when you were a kid? I'm too embarrassed to announce. Yes, I did. When I was a little kid, I played American football. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Do you know why I got to play American football? Because my coach had compassion. That's all. You may be short, but I was as skinny as can be. My preacher made fun of me. When I got saved, he said, brother, I better turn to your side. Stick your tongue out. I told you he looked like a zipper. From the church, man. Brother Greg's the only guy I know who has to jump around the shower to get wet. You think, you think come back, don't just come from a rough upbringing. Sometimes when you're a preacher, you love me, I love him. But let me just say, it's nice when you're a little kid and you don't know that you can't do something and the coach says, Craig, get on out there.
Yeah.
Get that ball. And you know what? You come out of the team, and probably there were 6 guys on that team who made all the scores, but you know what? The entire team is shouting, amen.
Amen.
Because they got to participate.
Yes.
And there's something wonderful about doing something with the people of God.
Yes.
And when we have leaders who are, like you were talking yesterday, this big a pyramid, and they are the star of the whole show, and everybody else is just in awe of it. It's not biblical Christianity.
Amen, brother.
Leadership says, can you help me? Would you help me? I need you to do this. I can't do it without you. Would you take over this thing? I can't do it all.
Amen.
And everybody says, I can't do it. I know, but you don't know how much I need you. And all of a sudden, everybody, when it gets a conference, they go, praise God. I've got to contribute. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Allow other people to score some goals.
Amen.
I've been on the door. We have a black guy that just got saved, named Edward Affinton. Mm-hmm. Edward's crazy, man. He got saved. He starts going out with Dan Eberle. And Dan couldn't. He went with somebody else. And I always want this. I told you about this guy named Lucky. Lucky's about 4 times my size. I said, I can't wait to go out with him. Because I'm going to put him right at the door, knock on the door, and when they open it, go, listen to him. But Edward's sitting here next to me, And I haven't gotten a chance to go with him yet. And I said, Edward, you okay?
Oh, I'm fine.
And he's been out a couple of times with Brother Dan. So we're going out and I kind of out of compassion says, would you like to try this? No, not yet. And so I'm knocking on the doors, And I finally said, you want to do this? I said, sure. I went, really? He said, yeah. So you ready for this? Yeah. You know, I didn't get another word in edgewise. You know what's funny? I could have talked better than he did at the door. I probably could have come around and helped out and made sure they were really clear. You know what? It was his day.
Amen.
That's good. It was his day.
Right.
I mean, he had fun. And you know what? He thought he was having fun. I could have, you know, brother, you should have done this, and you should have said it this way, and you should listen to me.
Yeah.
No way. Leadership lets them contribute.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me go on. Take your Bible, turn. Well, we don't have time. Let me show you the next one because this would take too long. A follower wants to see contrition in a leader. If you have a picture, if you have a godly leader in your life, if you have a father in your life, who will say, I'm sorry,
man.
I blew it. Will you forgive me? You have a good man.
Amen.
Because you know what you love about a man like that? They're real. Let me just tell you, if you're called to leadership, you need to have the ability to be able to say, I blew it and I'm sorry. I need to go get right with God. You know what would be sweet? I mean, as we go around, I mean, a lot of you need to get right with God, but a lot of us need to get right with God. I mean, we're flesh just like you are. It's good for a leader not to set himself up on the, I have arrived. You know what Paul said? I am not arrived.
Yeah.
I just keep forgetting the things that I've done. And I keep pressing towards the more. Amen. Contrition. Nehemiah, he prayed like nobody ever prayed before. And he said, oh God, we have failed you. We have gone away from you. We brought this judgment on ourselves. Daniel, the same thing, a whole chapter, Daniel chapter 9. He pours out his heart. He says, we, along with our fathers, turned our backs on you. I appreciate that. I like that. You know, somebody prays 2 Corinthians 7:14. My people, 1 Corinthians 7:14. Corinthians, Chronicles. My people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. You know what's wonderful? When somebody gets up and preaches on that they're the first one to hit the floor and say, oh God, that's me. I need to humble myself. That's a good leader. Amen. It's a great leader. Show you another one. A follower wants convictions in their leaders. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Brother Declan, would you read Acts 20, verse 23 and 24? We're almost through.
Acts 20, verse 23 and 24.
Yes,
sir. Saved up the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
You know what? He was not going to let anything. He had a conviction. You know what a conviction is? A conviction is where you plant your feet and you say, I am not going to do that anymore. A conviction is where you say, that's as far as I'll ever go. I'm not going to allow on my tongues, I'm setting no wicked thing before my eyes.
Amen.
That's a conviction.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I will not let anything proceed out of my mouth that is both blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. James says these things ought not to be so. You need to have some convictions. If you're going to be a leader, your followers want to know that you're not hypocritical.
Amen.
Now, you may not have as many convictions as I have. You may not have as many convictions as Brother Pittman. I don't know if anybody has as many convictions as Brother Pittman. You just need to get to some convictions.
Yeah,
there you go. You need to have something that said, you know what? Where do I start on these things? Where do you start on convictions? Where do you start to say, there's some things I used to do that I'm not going to do anymore. Because I saw what they did to me. Other people may be able to do it, but not this bird. Amen? It's a conviction. Would you get you some conviction? Because
Amen.
Followers need to know that to have something that will that you will not change on.
Amen.
You need to have a conviction that book is
the word
of God. Amen. I said you need to have a conviction. Now, that's not my conviction. That's God's conviction.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know, you need to be able to, I don't care who comes at you, you need to have the conviction that every word in that book is true.
Amen.
All this, literary, symbolic, allegorical, typological type of meaning is rubbish.
Yes.
You need to have a conviction, I'm a Bible believer from cover to cover.
That's right.
That's conviction.
Praise God.
You need to have a conviction that you're married once.
Amen.
You need to have a conviction that you're going to stick with this woman no matter how many times she tries to poison you. Amen. Amen. You need to have a conviction. Amen. Paul says, people are trying to tell me, even the Holy Spirit is telling me not to go to Jerusalem. But none of these things are going to move me. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Amen. Let's do another one. Cause. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. You need to have a conviction that your church is worth giving everything to.
Hey!
You need to have a conviction your pastor is worth fighting with instead of against. Amen. Those are convictions. Will you get you some convictions? Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. Let's see. Brother Tom, would you stand up, please? 1 Samuel 17, 29. I love how David says this. He's in a huge crowd, and listen to his words. I thought you had it there, brother. You're smiling and looking at me, but you're paying attention.
I'm just always smiling. 1 Samuel 17,
29.
And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?"
This is actually amazing. The only reason why this little runt kid, who's about 17, 18, 19 years old, is even listened to is because he says, "There's a cause! There's a reason to risk our lives." They mocked the God of Israel. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And you know, a leader has to have a cause. And the cause is not to have church. The cause is people are going to hell.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Have a good cause. And go on. They want to join a cause with a leader. A lot of places they join a blood drive. They join the Irish Cancer Society because these are all good causes. You understand the word? But I joined up 28 years ago a very good cause.
Amen.
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 The winning of the world to Christ.
Amen.
A bigger task than ever imagined. But it's a worthwhile effort, amen? And I'll follow anybody who's trying to do it, amen? Let's move on. Consistency. Consistency. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. I need you also to find 2 Timothy 4. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Timothy 4. See, Brother Kevin O'Keefe, 1 Corinthians 4, 2. First of all, consistency. I kind of hinted at this before, but we're going to say this as well. Say it real loud, brother. 1 Corinthians 4:2.
Moreover, it's required of the steward that a man be found faithful.
All right, key word, faithful. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4:7 now. While he's looking that up, I'll say this real briefly. Probably our biggest problem is we're the most inconsistent creatures in this universe.
Yeah.
You ever hear, watches? Most of our watches are what's called quartz driven. You don't know what that means, and I kind of don't either. But I'll tell you what I do know. There's a little bitty piece of quartz inside there, and a little clock timer that's listening to the atom vibrate. And it's so regular, it sets the time of my whole clock.
Hallelujah.
Because that quartz atom is vibrating at 9,000 times a second, whatever it is, because it's faithful and consistent, my clock tells me the time.
Praise
amen?
God.
It's usually right twice a day. Amen? My point is this. I wish to God that Christians, who I think Jesus saved to be consistent, I wish to God that we were consistent.
Yeah.
Amen? You don't have to be rocket scientists, but you ought to be faithful. Read 2 Timothy 4:7, please.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Amen. I fought the fight. I finished my course, and I kept the faith. You know what he did? He prayed back there in Acts 20. He says, I want to finish my course with joy. And you'll never I mean, they're in prison, he writes Philippians. He stays consistent. Amen.
Amen.
Consistency in a leader. Two more. Go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 1, 6. See, Brother John Manning, would you read Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6? We're also going to Joshua 1, 5. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Real loud.
Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Now I'll say this. One of the characteristics of Joshua must have been fear. Do you know what I like about it? You never see it.
Yeah.
I like that, man. See, we get this problem of, like I said yesterday, and what you've heard already, that Americans seem to ooze with confidence. I'm just going to be making it real plain. We hide it very well.
Yeah.
Okay? You just need, as has been said, you need a God confidence.
Amen.
Where you keep reading that book, and if God said it, it settles it.
Amen.
I'm going to be okay. Amen?
Do you
understand? God, when God says to Joshua, be of good courage, don't be afraid, don't fear them, it's because he was afraid. Amen? Now go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Brother John as well.
Joshua 1, 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
My demonstration is this, all right? Here's Dan, and Dan's driving along in a tank. Got his helmet on, night vision glasses, driving along. Somebody, you know, comes up over the horizon, starts sniper shooting at him, and he just drops down and blows him up. He goes along. And he goes through, and there's no fear on his face. You know why? Because that tank's taking care of him, man. And he gets out of there, and he says, hey, Craig, you want to head into the battle? And I look at him, and he says, I can't fight. And he says, get in the tank. I get the point. I could get in that tank and go, man, cool. And I go right into the battle because I saw it work for Dan. I find out, man, I'm almost invincible, amen? And God says, as I was with Moses,
yeah,
I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
And there's something wonderful about a follower who looks at a leader and they see confidence in him. Not because of self. Are you listening? But because he's in a tank. Amen? Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
You can do anything by the grace of God, whatever he's called you to do. Because he's your strength.
He's your victory.
Amen. All right. One last one. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. Again, we got that. We're back at that classic, great chapter in our Bible. One of the all-time 10 top chapters in your Bible ought to be 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Let me see. Who haven't I? All right, yeah. Joshua, stand up. Josiah. Josiah, would you read 1 Samuel 17, 45?
Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
Now where is David at that point?
He's in the middle of the battle, I guess, with the Philistines, talking to Goliath.
Yeah, well, got to get the idea. A one hill ridge, 100,000 Philistines.
Yeah.
Another hill ridge, 100,000 Jews. And the Jews are, their knees are knocking, they're terrified. Okay? One big guy on steroids comes out, and he's able to yell and carry his voice across the valley and clearly enunciate, I'm here to ruin your day. Amen? And he's down, he says, send somebody down here so I can eat him up. And out comes this 19, 18, 17-year-old kid. He has no armor on. He's slinging a slingshot. And he's running on that thing. And you have to remember, there's 100,000 soldiers watching that kid. And they're going, oh, he's going to die. This is going to be so bad. And when David begins to speak, he says, you big jerk, you come out of here and look. And you got to get the picture. Goliath has got an armor bearer. He's got an armor bearer who carries a huge shield and is carrying like a caddy carries all your your golf clubs. He's carrying all of these assorted weapons, and he's running up here defending, protecting big Goliath. Goliath's covered from head to toe, except for a small part of his face, covered with all of this metal. And little one David's saying, you're going down. Amen? You're going down!
Amen.
And he lets go, and he says, Lord, give it to him. Amen? And those soldiers watched the courage of that young man, and now you know why the whole country said, that's a good man. Wherever David goes, because Saul realized it and said, hey, you can sit down. Said to David, David, I'm going to make you the protector of my head. I'm going to put you in charge of my entire army because you're a leader. You've got courage. Amen. You know your wife needs? A man.
Amen. Amen.
You may need a baseball bat underneath your bed, amen. or a hurley stick. But you ought to be the one that gets out of bed if you hear noise. Amen. Courage! Amen. Need some courage.
Amen.
Every follower, I don't care if you're saved or lost, every person wants a leader that has those characteristics.
That's right.
You know why? Because God wired that into us.
Yeah. Yes.
Most people have given up on religious leaders having any of that.
Right.
Can we teach them something?
Yeah.
Can we show them there still is a God in heaven?
Yeah.
Can we show them that there are still some Elijahs?
Yeah.
There still are some John the Baptist. There still are some men of character and that have these characteristics whose followers want them to lead. I ask you a couple of questions. You've got a series there. If you're going to prepare for leadership, there are five questions you need to ask you yourself. Five very simple questions and we'll take a break. Number one. Has God broken me since getting saved? Some of you may be saved. Brother, where are you, Jim Foley? Where are you? Raise your hand. Oh, right here. You've been saved 3 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey! You know what's funny about him? I think he walks a foot off the ground. Amen? Am I right? This guy comes in the office and he's like, hey, I'm still saved.
Yeah.
And it's just,
cool.
And I just say, well, bless God for that. But let me say, one of these days, you know what God's going to do? He's going to break him. He's going to put you through a little valley.
Yeah.
All right? That's just normal. Yeah. That's the Christian life. For unto you it is given, Philippians 1:29 says, for unto you it is given not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for his sake. And let me just make it real plain. Have you seen God try to break you? You know why your wife doesn't listen to you? Because you're one stubborn donkey. Amen.
Yeah.
And you have not let God break you. At least not publicly. Have you let God break you? I mean, where you've realized, I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my kids. I can't blame my boss. I can't blame the economy. I can't. Would you guys quit blaming the government, by the way?
Yeah.
Would you quit blaming
Brian
Cowan? And would you quit blaming Maryland. All the whole thing. Don't blame. Don't even blame Obama. Let me just say something. I have no thrill for Obama. But Obama in the Bible is the same as Saul, King Saul.
Yeah.
And David said, I will not touch God's anointed. You better be careful.
Yeah.
I'm not talking so bad about the leaders, okay? Can we talk about ourselves for a minute and just say, then all these things, I'm not going to blame anybody else for my life. God's trying to break me, and if he's got me, when I'm in a corner, and I'm squished, and I'm pressed, and I'm breaking, amen.
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 Amen. Has God broken you since getting saved? You know he was breaking you before you got saved.
Yeah.
You know he was. He put you in a hospital. He put you in this program. He put you nearly in the grave, and you finally went, I should. Amen? Remember that? You need to get broken again.
Amen.
Second question you need to ask yourself. If you're going to prepare for leadership, you're going to be broken. Because no leader stands up here and says, oh, I've never had a problem. Oh, follow me because my way is the right way. No, we say, don't look at me. Follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Second question you need to ask yourself is this. Have I allowed God to take me into a wilderness? And to break me of my, specifically, have I let him to break me of my self-sufficiency? Self-sufficiency. You know what's dangerous? You know what's dangerous? That right there.
Yeah.
Why? Run out of money?
Throw a car.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, I can handle it. Maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you start thinking about how quick you are just to act without prayer. And act without actually saying, God, are you trying to get my attention? I keep running out of money, and I keep going more into debt. Are you trying to get... I got to stop depending upon myself and my wisdom and the world's ways. Amen?
Yeah, good.
Have I gone through a valley, maybe through a wilderness, it was so tough, and I knew I could do this, and I'd get through it. I knew I could get a stimulus package.
Yeah, exactly.
And I could spend myself out of debt.
Yeah.
Hey, something's wrong there, isn't it? I know I could handle this. And you decide, you know, God, you're trying to break me of self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. As a matter of fact, when he talks about his flesh, he says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Third question. This is really going to hit home. What do I cling to right now that I find hard to surrender to God?
Yeah, good. That's good.
What do I find right now? What do I cling to right now that I find hard to surrender to God? Your television? Could you go a week without that idiot box being on? They call it ET. I mean, if I sat down with my kids, I don't know what to say. You know, I took Josh and Joel out camping one time on the backside of the Black Valley on the base of Kartul, which is the tallest mountain here in Ireland. And we sat out there, and we got up there, we got all set up, and the sun went down. This was about November, about 3 years ago. We sat out there, and I know I'm taking a long time, but please bear with me for just 2 seconds. We got up there about halfway up the mountain, and we set up the tent and everything, and about 6 o'clock, we're fixing dinner, and it's getting dark, you know, and we got our hot dogs, we got our canned beans, you know, we got canned corn, and we thought we were in heaven. It was sweet, it was delicious, you know. And then we cleaned up the dishes, and we had the fire going, and we all sat down, and it was 6:30.
Yeah.
So we sort of told some stories, and I read the Bible, and then we talked, and it was 7. And it's like, what are you going to do, man? There's no radio, you know, the phones won't work, you know, there's no girls to talk to, there's nothing, man. And it seemed like an eternity to get to 9 o'clock, because there was no technology, there were no city lights, there was nothing. And I'm just looking at Joel and Josh, and just looking at me, and I'm going, we talk about everything we know to talk about, and it's 9 o'clock. You know what Joel said? Let's go to bed. You know, it's a shame. I'm ashamed. What are you, and I'm just trying to tell you, what are you clinging to? It might be your girlfriend. You know why most men will go to hell?
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're afraid of what a woman is going to think if they start living for God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
I've been at the doors and I knocked on the door and I started giving them the gospel and this man's sitting there and he's all excited, showing out the Bible, and you hear somebody walk up and go, hum! And you think the Gestapo just came in. And it's his wife. I gotta go. Like, what are you holding on to? And God is telling you to surrender. Because until you lose it all, you cannot be over here. Listen, if you're ever gonna do something for God, oh yeah, you can go into the business world, you can go into sports. If you can do something for God, it's gonna cost you everything. Jesus said, if you do not hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, yeah, your own life also, then you can't even be my disciple. You can be saved, but you can't claim to be following me. What are you clinging to that you find it hard to surrender? Fourthly, am I a servant of God at all? Am I a servant at all? You answer that. You know what you need to do? You need to do something just for Jesus. You need to go on Sunday morning, you need to put an offering in the offering box just for Jesus. Not because the preacher preached on tithing last week. You need to stand up there, make a fool of yourself, and get the gospel out at work, and hand out a gospel tract as they laugh at you, and do it just for Jesus. Are you a servant of God at all? And then last question. What am I doing right now in my local church that helps my pastor? If you want to be a sir, if you want to be a leader, start with your pastor. Start serving him. You know, I'm going to make it very clear. You know what Joshua was? It says it over and over, and I may point out tomorrow morning. It says over and over, Joshua, Moses' servant. Not just God's servant. Moses was right there. I'm sorry, Joshua was right there helping out his pastor. That's where leadership is made. Amen. We're learning that thing. Father, please bless these thoughts. We're going to take a break, Father. You come back into the message, and Lord, just carry this challenge and this burden that you're starting to weigh upon, I hope, every heart as you begin to feel free and welcome to pull and direct the lives of the men in this room. I don't care if they're 9 or 90. Lord, as you begin to work and grip and squeeze and pull and tug, oh, may we yield. Oh, may we yield. Why would we fight with thee? It is always hard to kick against the press. Lord, I love you and I thank you for these men. Bless the rest of this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.